You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm Austin Meek with WacoBusinessNews.com, and my guest today is Sarah Martin. Sarah runs the Kindred Event Studio and recently opened Gather, a home goods store in downtown Waco. We'll talk about her block on Washington Avenue that is popping right now, how she juggles three kids and shared businesses with her husband, and her design influences. But first, it's the word on the street. Rebecca Hagman is the director of Cultivate 712, an art space downtown that opened next to the Hippodrome on Austin Avenue. She wears many hats in the building that provides office space for Creative Waco, the Art Center, the Central Texas Artist Collective, and 10 artists in residence. And it also offers yoga classes, pop-up dinners, and, you guessed it, fabulous artwork. In the back room of Cultivate 712, artist Rocio Ramirez has created an ofrenda, which in Mexican and Aztec traditions is a ritual altar erected during the annual Dia de los Muertos celebration, which honors the deceased by highlighting their favorite food, drinks, and images. Check out Waco Business News on Instagram for visuals because my words cannot do this justice. Ramirez's ofrenda is absolutely stunning, and it's impressing others as well.
When you come into her ofrenda, we've actually had a number of people from Mexico City say that this is the best ofrenda they've ever seen.
Miss Ramirez is a renowned fabric artist who lives in Waco. You've seen her mask and costuming work in movies like The Mask of Zorro with Anthony Hopkins and Antonio Banderas, and in Nacho Libre with Jack Black. While the ofrenda will close after tomorrow, tonight marks the opening of November's exhibit on feminine forms. Hagman plans to open a new show every month and has plenty of options from which to choose with all the in-house talent.
This is really kind of a nexus for all things arts and creative in Waco. You could come in here and talk to Creative Waco about how to get a grant for your project and maybe find some artists to contribute to your project.
I say it every time I get the chance on Downtown Depot. Arts and culture spur economic development. Hagman wants not only artists, but the entire Waco community to know that a life filled with art is accessible for anyone.
Cultivate 712 is here to highlight the components of Waco's culture that they maybe haven't had the chance to see highlighted in the past. So you may have lived here for 20 years, but you don't know that we have some of the best foreign artists in the nation here. And you may not know that we have someone like Rocio Ramirez, who is a nationally renowned fabric artist in town. And you may not know what the arts community is really doing. And you might have felt like you didn't know where to go to get that information. Come on by and actually get an insight into what's happening culturally through the arts here in Waco. And we're hoping that Cultivate 712 is the place you can come to actually experience that for yourself.
Cultivate 712 is located at 712 Austin Avenue and is open from 11 to 7:30 Tuesday through Friday and 10 to 5 on Saturdays. Sarah Martin is the owner of Gather and of Kindred Event Studios, and she was kind enough to drop by the KWBU studio to talk about her creative process and her history. Sarah, welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you so much.
Would you tell me how you ended up in Waco? What's your story here?
Yeah, I grew up in Houston, and I came to Baylor in 1997, 20 years ago. I left a couple times, and we're still here.
And what led to the leaving and what led to the coming back?
Yeah, so when I graduated, all I actually ever wanted to do from the time I can remember was be a missionary and live overseas. So when I came to Baylor, that's all I wanted to do. I picked special education as my major because why not? You just pick something and I loved it. I taught for a year in China Spring, and then I did the training school with Antioch Community Church. And I went to Lebanon. So 2 years after I graduated, I moved overseas to Lebanon as a part of a church planting team with Antioch. I was there for a year and a half. And kind of through that time, I met my husband. He was still living in Waco. And so we started dating long distance before Skype or text or anything.
That was hard, emailed. I'm sure.
Yeah, it was hard. And then I moved back in 2005, and we got married in October of 2005, 12 years ago.
So initially, as a young person, having an interest in missions. Was it something that you saw exemplified by your parents or just through your church? Like, how do you think that that spark was put in you?
Yeah, I think in the church I grew up in, so I went to Southern Baptist Church in Houston, Tallawood Baptist Church, and they have a really strong missions program. And I don't know, I remember being eight and hearing, you know, at that time it was somebody in like African garb kind of talking about living overseas. And I thought that was weird, but there was also something that I thought was really interesting. And then as I like got into high school and youth group and kind of that whole, there's a movement, Passion Movement led by Louis Giglio, which is a lot about like how we can do missions like now, just as we are. You don't have to like put on the African garb and like move for forever and live in some tribe, though that's of course part of it in reality for some people. I think something in that really, it was God, I guess, you know, just like lit something in me that I just knew that was what I always wanted to do. So I just really thought, oh, this God has changed my life. And there are people that have literally never heard and also people that have legit need. And you can do both. You can meet need of hunger and friendship and connection and also sharing this thing that has changed me. You know,
did your time in Lebanon influence this feeling that you have this calling towards hospitality?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I've always also at the same time always loved like celebrating. So from like, I mean, I can remember being little and parties at my house, we always celebrated, but it was very much like, you buy the happy birthday banner and we reuse it every year. And we had a box of like reused party supplies and everything there was, Mother's Day or birthdays or anything. I would just bring it all out and like decorate all on my own, just like for whatever it was. And they were things that were torn and tattered because we reused them every year. Those crepe paper like streamer things, I would like put them all over the house. So I've also always had that thing in me too. I didn't know though that like, I never thought that could be a career. That wasn't until a little bit later that I actually realized, oh, wait, you can make a career out of like other things you're passionate about. But then specifically being a part of the Arab culture, I mean, it's so hospitable. I mean, they put us to shame. You people that have nothing, these like Syrian refugees living in camps in Beirut, they would invite us and they would feed us this full meal. And I mean, you would be stuffed and they're sending you home with food. And you know that that was probably their grocery budget for the month, if not more. And just and like over and over, I mean, on the daily, that is how we got treated all the time. And so there is something, and then learning to also treat them that way by inviting them to your house and not making them feel uncomfortable that you have too much money, almost like meeting them in the opposite way of like humbling yourself, but also being generous. That I think that was a huge, that made a huge impact on me.
Well, and I'm sure that you learn really the importance of hosting and like, what are the integral parts of being a good host? It's not having the finest china. It's not having the most expensive food.
Right.
It's the quality of the conversation.
Yes. And making them feel like they can just sit there and talk and they don't have to leave and they can be comfortable. I think that's making a place where people can feel like they can be themselves.
So you're in Lebanon for a year-ish.
Year and a half. Yeah.
And Jonathan comes into the picture when and where?
Yeah. So we actually met right before I left, like 3 months before I left. So we met, he asked me out, I said yes. We dated super casually for a couple months and I broke it off. I'm leaving in a month. This is, how would that ever work? And so, and he said, we can make it work. And I said, no. So we didn't talk for like 6 months or something. And then he kind of emailed me and said, hey, I'm still thinking about you. Are you still thinking about me? And I had been. So we kind of started this email relationship, buy a phone card for $20 and talk for 5 minutes. You know, this it was, you know, actually awful, but also great because it was just a bunch of talking, like a bunch of getting to know each other. And after about 6 months of that, we were like, this is actually like we both really like each other. And so he came to Lebanon for a little bit. And he had actually he had done the training school at Antioch also the year before me and had an interest in going overseas. So he thought, well, I'll just move to Lebanon. But I mean, there's an order to everything and we weren't going to get married and live over as newlyweds. There's just not a lot of support and community and things like that. And so we decided that I would come back and then we got engaged and got married. And yeah.
And which year was this?
This is in 2005. So we've been married 12 years this past month.
And I would imagine that Waco in 2005 looked pretty different from the way it does now. What are your main thoughts and things that you remember about Waco in that time?
Yeah, so at that time, it was so much just about our friends. So we still had a significant amount of people that had stayed that were our closest friends that still lived in Waco. And so even we talked about moving. His family at the time lived in Southern California, and mine lived in Houston. And we had talked about moving to either of those cities, or like in Austin or a Dallas, or, you know, you can do whatever you want. You know, we were starting out. But there was just something about, like, the friendships seemed that we had made in college and post-college seemed almost stronger than those family ties at that time.
What were you doing professionally in 2005?
So it was a hard transition because I had moved back, obviously, from the mission field. And so that's actually what kind of got me started in thinking that you could be creative for a goal. So I started working for Carol Harrell. She owned a local business called Made Especially For You, Made Especially By You, Made Especially For You by Carol. That was it. And actually, we found her because I wanted specific wedding invitations that I couldn't find anybody in Waco to make, and she did custom wedding invitations. So I found her. I was like, this is pretty cool. Like, she just had this tiny little, it was over, I think, off Washington near like 24th or something. And she just had this tiny little thing. She did custom invitations and they were pretty cool. And I just asked her, do you need part-time help? And then very shortly after that, she ended up buying or going into a bigger retail space on that Highway 6 and Bosque strip center. And she ended up buying out Noteworthy and sold kind of like a larger line of stationery. And she also did wedding planning. And so I would sometimes assist her on that and realize like, oh, this is, I liked it. So that was kind of the first step I had in that.
So what'd you like about it?
What did I like about it? I liked getting to know like the brides. I liked talking with them and hearing their vision. And then she did a lot of custom stuff. And so it was fun for me to think like, oh, you could sit down and like think of something creative with these people and not have to just pick something from a book or, you know. And at the time, weddings were not even what they were now. There was not Pinterest. There was not Style Me Pretty. There was not any of the blogs. It was like you pick up a magazine and you do XYZ and that's what your wedding is. And she was taking a bit of a more custom approach. And that is what I really liked, that idea that you could make somebody's event like really personal.
The goal of turning what was a dream of loving hospitality and loving people mm-hmm. well into a business eventually materialized with your business, Kindred Event Studios. I've been to a number of weddings, which you have coordinated, and they are all fabulous.
Thanks.
When did Kindred actually take form?
Yeah, so I think it was almost a little over 5 years ago. So fast forward, we started having kids, and I had also worked at Paper Source. We lived for a little bit in LA, and that was kind of another step of like just kind of that same industry, a lot of wedding invitations, a lot of creative stuff. And that was, and the people I worked with all had side like design jobs and creative jobs. And that was when I realized, oh, all these people are my age and like they're going to just like make their own business out of a creative thing. So that kind of got that all stirring. And then we moved back to Waco. We kind of thought we were going to be in California for the long haul and that didn't work out. So we came back to Waco and I kind of came back. So that would have been 2007. And that was a hard one because I was like, shoot, there were all these creative people. There's no one creative in Waco. There's no one like me. And how could I even find a job like this anymore? And but we had also just had our first son. And so I really wanted to stay home. So he was about five. He was five, actually, because he was going into kindergarten. And a friend of mine, Emily Pabin, had just moved back to town. And she was a very like-minded, creative person. And she kind of came to me and said, hey, there's not a lot of other creative people that I know in Waco, but I feel like you have a similar desire to me. She also had kind of this, learned that she had this niche of really a talent of planning really unique weddings. And people just kept asking her to do it for free. And she just kept doing it. So she said, what if we started a business? And I said, I don't want to run a business. I do not want to run a wedding planning business. That does not sound fun. I said, but I do want to plan parties. So she said, what if you plan parties and I plan weddings and we do it together? So that kind of started, I actually started this small business first called La Fête by Sarah. And she started Emily Pavin Wedding and Events. But then we never did anything apart because we realized it's just so much more fun to do it with somebody. So then we formed an official partnership and formed Kindred in May of, I guess that was 2012, 5 years ago.
Take me to the first official Kindred event.
Oh, so rough.
I'm okay, sure it was just such a nightmare.
The first one was actually... So the first one was we just did it for free. Like somebody that was already planning their wedding, and we kind of said, we'll just help you. And so that I don't even count it because they had really planned it. We just kind of executed the day of. And it was pretty cool, actually. It was in Brazos Park East, and it was outside, and they had amazing style. But I don't know how much credit we could take for that one. I think Emily did more of it than I did, actually. So the first one was this amazingly sweet Hispanic family from Waco found us, I don't know, on Facebook or something, and hired us to do their parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And we charged, a few $100s. We didn't, because we were like, our plan was free, charge a little bit more until we can earn, you know, what other people are charging to plan weddings. And so it was this 50th anniversary party for their parents, and complete, 100% Hispanic culture, so foreign to us, in this amazing place off of J.J. Fluellen that I think like has a ton of quinceañeras and things like that. So, just so out of our comfort zone. But they were so amazing to work with. It was all the kids basically chipped in all the money they had to like pay for us, but also pay for this huge party. And we kept thinking like that's like our aesthetic is not necessarily your typical aesthetic, but they really wanted, they're like, whatever. So we just did what we wanted. And we didn't know so many things. So we had a local Mexican restaurant catered, but they just brought the food and left. So at the end of the night, we have like 250 plates of like rice and beans and enchiladas that we are literally have to like rinse and clear at like this tiny kitchen sink without a garbage disposal. Oh. And we've been working already like on an 11-hour day to set up and run this event. And we are in there just scraping beans. And we were both like, someday we'll laugh about this, but this is the worst thing ever. We did not make a cent on this, but it was also like the best memories now.
And how long did it take for you to really feel like Kindred had its footing and the business had started to take form?
Yeah, probably towards the end of that year, after doing two or three weddings. The nice things about weddings is, yes, they can all be unique, but they actually are all very similar. So it is nice because they all have the same basic components. And so once you've done it a few times, it is, you're not reinventing the wheel every time. Hopefully you are on design, but not on the actual execution of the running of one. So I would say after that first year, I felt like we felt, okay, we can charge like a good amount. We actually are bringing more than what the client knows. We actually, have kind of know what's going on. And that's the other great thing about Waco is that it's not a Dallas. There's not a million vendors. So within a year's time, you can really learn who are the main caterers, who are the, you kind of can get a pretty good feel for the vendors and actually get to know them, which helps a ton in planning. So,
who are some of your favorite vendors to work with in town?
Yeah, I think my favorite caterers, Rio Brazos. I can't say enough about everything they do. I love Janya. She also runs the food truck Mad Hasher. And she, she has great, her food is great. The quality is consistent and really good and creative and fun, but her servers are amazing. They will do anything I ask them to do. They think of things before you can. They're amazing. I do commercials for her for free all day because I think she's great. I think Best Yet is really great. I think they do really great food, inventive menus. I've used, for rentals, I've used everyone. I've used Pinley, I've used Action, I've used RSVP. I think they all have. Everybody has strengths and weaknesses, just like I do. So that's the nice thing is to learn, this is their strong suit. If this is the event that calls for that, that's who I'm going to go to.
You're listening to Downtown Depot on 103.3 KWBU-FM. My guest today is Sarah Martin, owner of Kindred Event Studio and of the new shop downtown, Gather. Gather is incorporating a few different things. We've got Kindred, your husband's Black Oak Pottery, the Black Oak Art, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And Gather is really a space where homeliness and good-heartedness and friendliness is all cultivated.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the concept for Gather and how this came about.
Yeah. So probably almost exactly 2 years ago, Jonathan and I, my husband, were sitting down. And so Black Oak Art has really, it's been around since 2000. I always get the year wrong. Nine, maybe? Seven? I'm not sure. But kind of it was always a side business. And over the past years, as Magnolia has grown, we've supplied them with pieces for a while. And so we've really grown rapidly with them, which has been amazing. And so a couple years ago, we were sitting down thinking, how can we diversify and not have all of our eggs in the Magnolia basket, though it's an amazing basket to be in, and we're grateful. And so one of those pieces was we really wanted a downtown retail presence. And so he, of course, looked at me and said, do you want to run a store? I'm not going to run a retail store. And I said, I do, but I don't want to run a pottery store only. And so that's kind of thinking about, I love entertaining and I love everything to do with hospitality. And he has a passion and a talent for functional art. And so Gather was kind of the combination of those two things.
Gather can be found at 719 Washington Avenue, a retail store that offers home goods, quote, where traditional Southern hospitality meets a modern aesthetic.
I like that one.
What is Southern hospitality to you?
I don't know. It's just everything great about living in the South. You know, there's just the warmth of everything from just actually seeing people on the street and saying hi, whether you know them or not, but you act like you've known them for forever, to actually welcoming people, actually inviting people in your house, whether it's your neighbors you're getting to know, taking people cookies when they move in next to you, or, you know, throwing block parties, or just having friends in your house and really expecting them they can stay as long as there's no end time and the drinks will keep coming and the good food will keep coming and we are here for the long haul to talk, to watch games, whatever that is.
It feels like the term Southern hospitality has taken on such an outsized meaning. Like, I'm sure there are really hospitable people who live in New Hampshire.
I'm sure there are.
But Southern hospitality just means something else. What are some things that can be found at Gather right now that people who are looking to spruce up the Thanksgiving table want to have a nice cornucopia, or they know Christmas is coming around? What are some fun things that they might be able to find?
I mean, we for sure have the line of dishware made by Black Oak, which is awesome. And I know that's a bigger investment to actually upgrade your entire, you know, dishware or whatever. But even just adding a salad plate that's new, you know, and we have like this really earthy black brown color that I think is really fantastic for the fall. But we have this great line of linen napkins made by Leslie Medland, who currently lives in North Carolina, but went to Baylor, was a fashion merchandising major, and lived here for several years with her husband. I think those are a great addition to any table, and they are all hand-sewn, 100% organic linen, and they should last your lifetime. I mean, you could wash those things a million times. I've spilt wine on them, and it launders right out. I think those, like, heirloom type, I could actually pass these down to my kids, and they currently are, like, stylish and modern. I think those are really cool. So I think the linen napkins is awesome. I think we also have these really cool – they're made in Northern I want to say Northern California, but it could be, like, Oregon or something. But they're hand-carved wood place card holders, and they're like hand painted marble and gold. They're really cool. And so you could actually put one at everybody's place setting and put their name on it, or you could put a word, you know, thankful, grateful, something like that. I think those are unique and fun items. And then also with the napkins, actually, we have this cool line of napkin rings by M Jewelry and Ellen Moat. And those are, it's kind of the take on her jewelry line that she sells around town at Wildland and Magnolia and other places, but she made them specifically for Gather. So it's kind of like jewelry for your napkins, which is fun.
And I love that you have highlighted so many local artists, not only M Jewelry and Leslie Medlin, Mary Claret,
yes,
the line from Andy Day, who was a recent Downtown Depot guest, and also things from Cody Benton with Reckless Ironworks.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely one of my favorite things. We also have a line of cutting boards by Josh Morgan. And that was kind of it. That was like, okay, we have the pottery and we realize what a value it has been to us for Magnolia to really take on our stuff and like market it and sell it, and how it's allowed my husband to like take his art degree and make a living off of it in Waco, Texas, which is that's not very common.
In 2005, and you weren't thinking that was a possibility.
For sure not a possibility. And the fact that we could, in a very smaller way, do that for some other local artisans and artists is like an awesome part of what we do.
I credit Magnolia and Chip and Joanna by extension so much with setting the precedent in Waco of this is a city where we support each other.
Yes.
This is a city where artisans from all around are going to be highlighted and we're going to go out of our way to help people. So terrific that you would take a page out of their playbook and give space to people who are really doing great jobs.
Yeah. I think it's one of the coolest things about Waco is it seems like, and it seems like it's growing, but that collaborative nature that seems like it's really fostering right now, I think it's just great.
Is that collaborative nature something that was around in 2005, but there just weren't many people who were buying into it? Or do you think that that is something new?
I don't know. I didn't grow up here, so I definitely can't, you know, I don't know. But what my feeling, even with starting Kindred 5 years ago, it didn't feel as collaborative as it feels now. It felt much more like these are the people in the industry that have been around. Now, that was the wedding industry. It's a little bit different than retail, but this is who it's been, and these are the names, and it's kind of hard to, like, get in. You know, it didn't feel as much. But and that was something that was always really important to Emily and I when we started Kindred was, hey, like, I don't like if you're my competition, I'd rather like work with you than against you, you know, and because I think it just makes everybody better. I think collaboration just makes the end product always better. And so I think it feels new to me.
There's some terrific programming coming together.
Yes. So we are starting a workshop series that we will be launching. Actually, hopefully I'm launching it today. By launching it, I mean putting it on Instagram. It's actually live on our website right now. You can go on and buy tickets. But we're going to be doing workshops in there's a back room behind the hidden door in Gather. And it hosts workshops that hold about 8 to 15 people. And I mean, I hope to have a really wide variety over the months and years of workshops experiences. Right now we have watercolor coming in November by Shelby Nichols Designs. And we have calligraphy by Whitney Cuffold. She does all the calligraphy for Magnolia. We have florals coming by a new floral company, Laurel and Finch. The designer has been working with Baylor Flowers for years and just started out on her own. She's going to be doing like Thanksgiving, floral arrangement type classes. We have Talk More Meals, Dawn Weibel, who does the meal delivery service, all Whole30. She's going to be doing kind of how to cook healthy Whole30 at home, how to make winter soups specifically, and you get to leave with the soup, which is kind of fun. So those are kind of the first set that's coming out, and you can buy those tickets on our website, gatherwaco.com.
Well, Sarah Martin, thank you so much for what you're doing for downtown. What you have going there at Gather is a terrific addition to what is already a burgeoning excitement there, especially on that block of Washington Avenue. So thank you so much for coming to Downtown Depot.
Yeah, thank you.
Gather will be open late tonight during First Friday, so be sure to find Sarah at 719 Washington Avenue and let her know what you thought about the interview. That's all the time we have for this week, but if you want to stay informed in between episodes, find Waco Business News on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I keep those accounts regularly updated with interesting stories and photos coming out of downtown Waco, and Lord knows we have a lot of them right now. Also, I've had a few really fun conversations with listeners via email in the past few weeks, so if you have a tip or a suggestion, hit me up at austin@wacobusinessnews.com. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.